Oh God. Oh my God.
All right, everything's totally cool.
Yeah, you feel better now. It seems seems like you're okay.
Cheers, sir.
Oh, God. Yeah, God in heaven.
That's the problem. Like, you have to keep drinking it all the way through.
It's pretty awful.
Because I can't take this back in my car with me.
Why is that ooze colored?
Well, I mean, that's how you know it's berry and cherry.
Yeah.
This is honestly one of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, for somebody who described their like flavor palette as I like Mountain Dew and would like to get drunk. This actually that was pretty on point.
That was myself as a teenager. I mean, come on. I didn't know things.
Are you saying you're too good for
boozy Mountain Dew?
Buzzballs? Berry cherry limeade?
No, it's not that
I couldn't think of a name of a drink that combines Mountain Dew and like liquor.
I think it's just Mountain Dew and vodka.
I thought it was whiskey.
I don't drink soda.
I'm not sure. It all sounds bad.
You never drank soda?
No, I did growing up, okay, but I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. I was a teenager and the idea was I like drinking Mountain Dew because I was a computer idiot and, you know.
I'm very on record as being a Surge guy myself.
Yeah.
Those commercials spoke to me.
In fact, one of the first college gatherings I ever went to, I remember we had pizza and beer and then I'm all like, oh, this is awesome. And then I went for the pizza and I'm like, why would you ruin this with beer? Like, can I just want some Mountain Dew? Oh dear.
Very good.
It's been all downhill since then. Then you like recycle those bottles, get that money back.
Oh yeah. You gotta be in the right state for that, but yeah.
Does Washington not do that?
No.
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 We just do the moral version. Mm-hmm. They shame you if you don't recycle.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, we also don't have to pay a deposit on the cans and bottles.
There's
so.
That too. Mm-hmm.
But we do have to pay sales tax.
Yeah, we're not having to pay a guilt fee. We just recycle because we can.
No, I mean there's the sugar tax.
Sugar tax.
Well, that's sugar tax. That's a fat tax. That's because our fucking kids are all fat asses up here. Or, well, really, that our state has chosen to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
By taxing the poor.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, they shouldn't be drinking so much fucking sugary drinks.
Yeah, they should be drinking beer instead.
Rich people pay the tax too, but they can afford liposuction and Ozempic.
Oh dear. God fucking damn this.
Yeah. Bad. Well, you just have to drink another half of that ball.
Yeah. This ball is mostly you because I drove and I'm responsible.
Wait, we'll
see. Speaking
of
responsible driving.
No.
Oh, yes. Right.
This movie starts off fucking strong.
It certainly starts off. I'll give it that much.
Well, before we get to that, welcome back to Cage Match, Roundabout Way of Meeting Nicolas Cage. We were never going to get to a good segue, so I'm just doing it so we can get this over with. I'm your host, Sean.
Oh, we had a good segue. Peter did it.
That wasn't a segue. He just started talking about the movie.
We were talking about bad driving and safe driving, and then the movie is part of that. That's the segue.
Yeah, it starts off with driving.
Talking about. You're just talking about nothing now, as far as people are concerned.
Well, for now.
May I say, it doesn't quite start off with driving.
Shut up! And my co-host.
Oh.
Nix.
Oh, Jesus.
And a producer.
We're Nix.
Peter, hello.
Why is this happening?
This is where you say your name.
My name is Hornback.
Yeah, welcome back, Hornback. We're glad that you were on this one because it is a real, real banger of a movie.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. I love bad movies, but this, I was actually mad at having to have had watched this one.
This is brought to you by the mind that gave us Detroit Rock City. Mm-hmm. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yep. And he was an executive producer on Willy's Wonderland.
Yep. And The Chase with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, he helped produce Willy's Wonderland?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like 1 for 3.
Yeah.
Cool.
You guys actually did research on this piece of crap?
I looked at IMDb for like 20 seconds because I was bored watching it.
I was curious about it because like a movie like this is weird because clearly he's tied into the scene because it is filled with cameos, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like there aren't that many actors in this movie total, and most of them are celebrities for like a few minutes at a time. Like, that's impressive.
Do you think that's him being tied in, or is that like the producer that egged him into or like encouraged him to write a
it's a good question. Film. I mean, he must be tied in somehow. It's still just too random that you would get that.
He was only 19 right when he made what this. Yeah.
Oh
yeah, he was 19 years old and he was asked, like, approached by this producer. He's like, hey, do you have a script for a teen comedy? And he's like, sure bet I do. And then he went home and wrote this over a weekend.
Sounds right.
This is like a 48-hour crank out.
For those of you listening, this week we're discussing the movie Never on Tuesday by director Adam Rifkin.
Yeah,
I'd recommend it on Never on Any Day.
I think I'm the only one who actually enjoyed this because it's a big piece of shit, but it is pretty fun.
No, I mean, I
shockingly enjoyed this film. But before we get to that, Nick, I don't care which one, what happens in this film?
Okay, so it's a movie starring two morons, and they are...
Who are those morons?
Matt and Eddie, I believe, are their names.
Correct.
I mean, what are the actors' names?
I don't know. I don't care.
Andy Lauer plays Matt and Peter Berg plays Eddie. Not that it matters. They are nobodies.
I don't know who these people are.
Okay, so it kind of opens with something that I've, in my late teenage years, found myself thinking, which is like, I'm not getting laid. Therefore, it's not me that's the problem. It's where I am. And so they're like, well, we should just go to where the hot chicks are. Mm-hmm. So they're watching this homemade creep shot thing on a beach somewhere in California. And then they get it in their head that, oh, we're not losers. We're just in the wrong place. So we got to go to LA where there are many hot chicks and we'll have all of them all of the
time. So much tail.
So much tail.
I like how your solution to that was to go to Seattle.
I mean, yours was to go to Portland.
I thought going to the big city would help.
I didn't go to Portland because I didn't come to Portland for chicks. I came to Portland to get away from you guys.
There you go. So anyways, they're like, let's go to LA because we don't have jobs or something. And then they start driving out that way. Home dude is like totally obsessed with his hair. And then
it's just two bros jerking each other off in a car.
Yeah,
you know, it's
basically. Like, and then they start like getting all distracted, driving all over the road, crash into some like poor lady who we find out is the
titular Tuesday.
Yeah, titular Tuesday. Which, by the way, may I just say, Tuesday is not the name of a person.
It's not a person's name. No.
It's not a person's name. Why? I am so mad that they would do this.
Like Wednesday? Okay. Yeah. We've got Wednesday out. Well, that's fine. I accept that.
Gal Friday? That's a name I've heard.
Sure.
They only did this so they could say Never on Tuesday is the title. But like, it's not the name of a freaking person. And
this is definitely a thing where they had like someone had copyrighted a title name and they needed a movie to go with it.
It definitely smacks of that. Yeah. I mean, it's a weird choice just in general.
Yeah. So anyway, they hit this poor lady. They think they killed her, but it turns out they don't. I mean, they meet up as they're trying to do insurance stuff and they find out she's a lesbian. But she's a really hot lesbian. So, you know, we don't even have to go all the way to LA. We've got like this hot chick right here. So therefore, you know, we should just put the moves on and we'll definitely get ultra laid.
Right. Because she just hasn't had that good dick.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously these guys are the ones to do it. No one else, but them. So,
well, Eddie's got great hair.
So their cars are both pretty fucked in this accident that they totally caused by being morons. So they're stranded in the middle of the desert. They make absolutely zero effort to, you know, survive.
Mm-hmm.
And weird encounters happen. They're really weird encounters.
Kind of the entirety of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, eventually they realize they're not going to turn her straight. And also she befriends them. And bad things almost happen to everyone, it really seems like. But eventually they get on a tow truck and that's the end of the movie. Literally nothing happens in this total piece of crap.
If they were the 90s, early 90s, and I just like was flipping channels and I like caught this movie somewhere in the middle, I would have assumed like the channels that like had softcore porn that occasionally like for 2 days became available, like Cinemax or something. I would have assumed that's what this was and would have watched the entire thing for like
for the hope of some nipple.
Yeah. Which there was. Yeah. Yes.
We're keyed in. We know what's up.
My initial text to Peter when I started this film was like, oh joy, a sex pest film, quickly followed by I'm not unconvinced I'm watching a porn.
Yeah.
Close. Yeah. I mean, God, there's so many freaking stupid scenes in this, but I just absolutely love how clueless these guys are. And overall, it honestly hit a little close to home. These guys remind me of kind of myself and a college buddy I had trying to figure out how to get laid. And
I'm assuming you identify as Eddie in this, correct?
Hair.
Good hair. like boning all the time.
You know, very even keeled and uh-huh. Not worried about anything ever. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah,
definitely yeah. Chill.
Yeah.
Not the clearly on the spectrum man.
he was a delight, though. His fantasies, by the way, were the absolute best.
Oh, yeah. His fantasies were the best part of this film.
I love that he is always being carried by her.
Yes. Yes. She carries him.
Oh, yeah.
Throws him on the bed.
As someone who exclusively loves like tall women, yeah, I get it.
His second fantasy was my favorite.
Is that the dinner party?
That's the dinner
yes party. My god.
Where
yes.
He just like picks up the turkey and like starts tearing into it and spitting on everybody that's there.
Okay, I honestly, everything about this scene was totally amazing. He starts like insulting everyone and they're not hot chicks
wife. Yeah.
And they're like totally down to be like, yeah, you know, I guess we're ugly, we're in earshot, but you know.
And Eddie, you've got the ugliest wife of all.
And to be fair, she is a pretty ugly lady in this. But then Matt is all like, not like my Tuesday. And then this Tuesday lady's all like, rawr, yeah,
we're gonna fuck on this turkey carcass.
and then like in the midst of their passion, this like candle starts going flying. They're literally burning down their house in this fantasy.
That's and how then, hot it was.
Yeah, I mean,
there's also
definitely
a joke about stuff in here.
Okay. God damn it.
Gross.
Well,
I've
never
had to be normal all day. I was at like a proper work function, so I
yeah, let it out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never gonna want to go to Thanksgiving again, so thank you.
Yeah, Matt's fantasies were definitely the better ones. Then there's the one where he's like on a bed in the middle of the desert. She's riding him and there's just like a bunch of
yeah,
ballerina dancing around
like full like an actual like topless scene and everything for Tuesday and just children dancing around them while they hump.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah.
Incredible.
That was caused by his heat stroke, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah,
he got some hot strokes out of that.
Yeah. And meanwhile, all of this is happening. It's the hot desert sun. They have exactly one. Looks like half gallon of water or something.
It's the water from her windshield wiper yeah. fluid.
And then they're all like, oh, I'm not going to drink that.
They're like 75 miles away from like the nearest town.
Yeah.
And just kind of decide that they're going to wait for a passerby to like help them, only to like meet the craziest
and
people.
And what a passerby you get to start.
Yeah.
Booty doo doo doo.
Booty doo doo doo. I rewatched this scene just to like really see how long it was. And honestly, if they would have just been like, yeah, we need a ride, they would have been fine.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
But that would have canceled their potential to bone.
Yeah, but Eddie like sent this is Nick Cage's cameo. Eddie sends him away because he's gonna bone down.
Well, also he's an extremely crazy person.
Yeah, he's very creepy. Is everybody okay? You need a lift? You need a ride?
I've heard that voice so much. That didn't get me. It was the fucking nose.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Why? Why was he wearing this thing?
I don't know. I mean, so dear listeners, he's wearing like the biggest, craziest prosthetic nose. Yeah. It's like...
It's an airplane wing.
It's an airplane wing hanging off of his face. Looks insane. It's like insane.
A nose to Bergerac situation.
Yeah, it is. Here. It is definitely...
Well pronounced.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
I went to college.
Yeah, you found every letter in that one.
I mean, his performance is hilarious to me. It makes no fucking sense. I have no idea why he did this movie.
I don't know why anybody did this movie.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Aside from Matt and Eddie, like clearly they got to touch a boob.
From my mild Google, Cary Elwes or someone related to Cary Elwes was a producer on this.
Yeah, it's his brother or something like that.
Yeah. He was also on the crew.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So when I was watching this, it was early in the morning, before work one day, and you know, I got it on, and my partner wakes up and is like, "Are you watching Babylon 5 or something?" And I'm like, what?
Which is a very reasonable thing for you to have been watching.
Yeah, exactly. No, she ain't know anything about.
She didn't even like watch what was on the TV. She just asked from the other room.
Yeah. Well, this was crazy to me. I had no idea about any of this. So first of all, I've never seen Babylon 5. I need to be, you know, kind of a proper nerd and all that.
I watched
that.
A fair bit of it. Yeah,
but
you should.
Apparently, Claudia What's-Her-Face was a major character on there.
Oh, really? Claudia Christian?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And so she knows all kinds of weird trivia, things like that. Immediately recognize this actress, and I'm all like, no, this is not definitely not that.
Yeah, not a chance she's been in anything other than this.
So I'm really surprised about that. But also, Babylon 5 is now ruined for me, because all I'm going to think about is like, some lady named Tuesday, which also somehow in this day and a half that they're stranded, she has like four different outfits that she changes into, which is
she has three costumes on day one.
What's going on here?
Also, who drives like a 70s Volkswagen Beetle in high heels?
Yeah, that just seems, I don't know anything about heels.
Cross country.
I gotta feel like you can't really do the pedals.
I do know something about heels, and yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Seems really dumb.
Yeah, it's not driving shoes for sure. Not when you're going across the desert. You wear comfortable shit.
But she's not here to be a character. She's here to be the sexy, lustful thing.
They're all caricatures. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of the male gaze thing. But I mean, they don't.
No,
turn
she
her.
Was a female gaze.
That's.
It was the female gaze.
She was for the female gaze.
Her acting was pretty flat, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was terrible.
Yeah.
In that regard, so when I started this movie, I started this on Sunday in the afternoon, assuming I wouldn't have time to watch it because work and stuff. And then I'm 20 minutes in, assuming this is going to be a horrid sex pest movie, assuming that, you know, they're going to fix her. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. Mm. And then when I came back to finish and sat down, I'm like, oh God, let's get into it. And then you realize like, oh no, these boys are going to learn a lesson. And like,
the lesson is that they want to make out with each other and jerk each other off. It's okay.
Yeah.
They're really okay. Two buds.
Isn't like a positive conclusion to this, except for some reason she's got weird Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah,
about
like
these two guys.
Fine about them.
Like she goes, she's very swingy with the, I'm a lesbian. Like, why are you guys like trying to do this? To be like, oh, let's just be best friends, to like back and forth. I don't know.
I mean, that's just bad writing. My point was that from when this movie came out and what I assumed the genre would entail, I was actually quite happy to see, like, oh no, they kept her a lesbian. There's no ambiguity there by the end. And they learn a lesson about, like, treating women with respect. Not something I expect from an 80s film. I'll be honest, most 80s comedies, I expect some form of rape.
Yeah. And there was none of that. It's a really weird movie. I mean, unsurprisingly, hard to find a copy of it. It was a direct to VHS.
Never came out on DVD.
Yeah, the company that was going to put it on DVD folded beforehand, unfortunately.
Really?
If only we could have gotten this one for your collection.
Yeah, no, I'll have to, like, just settle for a poster, I guess.
Yeah,
we got to find you a VHS.
And a VHS player.
It can sit on my shelf next to my VHS copy of City of Angels.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought it was Xandali.
No, God, I wish I had a VHS of Xandali. I have a DVD of Xandali. French import.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry, by the way, you made it sound like they, you know, learn a lesson toward the end. I don't think they did.
Yeah, I don't think anybody grows. They were fantasizing about her to the end. They were even like, both of them were like, hey, I know you're still a lesbian, but I find you hot at the end. Like, that was their last conversations with her before she leaves. And she still sheds a tear and looks.
I mean, she was hot.
Well, yeah, but that's still coming on to somebody. Like, your last interaction with somebody is like, hey, I'm gonna give it one more pass.
Nice boobs. Yeah. I don't know, just saying.
It's like, hey, you want to kiss me in front of these fucking tow truck drivers?
They did instigate that. She did that to make the make them look bigger than they were for the other men.
But why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To boost their egos, because dude was like talking about all his sexual conquests.
Because she's never going to see them again?
She wants to make them feel good because she actually wound up liking the idiots.
Well, then she should have just boned them.
Or at least a pity hand job.
I
kind of agree with
pity
that.
Pity handsky.
Also, I honestly thought this movie was going to end very badly because, like, one of the last things that happened, and there's like no payoff to this whatsoever, is like the tow truck driver taking her is all like, I'm not even a real tow truck driver.
Yeah. I mean, Emilio Estevez? Emilio!
I'm just filling in for my friend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I honestly thought that was going to be a plot point, but nope, no credits.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the music in this movie?
I rewatched it today after work, and I was struck by the fact that there is no music leading into the film.
Oh, yeah.
You get like a couple seconds of like kind of a like background noise sort of thing with like just like as they're loading up the 8mm film of Beach Party 83 that they were watching. And then it's just voiceover of them talking about like California girls.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get any music until like
it's as a into
the movie.
It's,
yeah.
I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was very subtle.
Again, why I thought this movie was going to be much worse than it actually was.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good. Let's also remind everybody, it's not a good movie.
Yeah, 100%. You do not need to see this movie ever. I think it was on IMDb or Wikipedia or something, but I thought it was interesting. They had such a low budget. They had to shoot it all on like film stock extras.
Oh, yeah.
Just the ends.
Shorts or whatever.
Yeah. So like they had to cram scenes as much as they could because they were going to run out of fucking film.
Yeah. Which, you know, good on them. Like, yeah,
keep it tight.
No,
a lot of cool indie films get shot that way. Sometimes if you've got something that needs to be out in the world, you do what you got to do. And sometimes, I mean, if you're going to make this movie, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
It did give us 27 seconds of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. And that voice really, it did work for me.
Yeah. No, and
just his weird pervy expression as Eddie's like, no, we're okay. And he's like.
Yeah. Looking down over his nose. It's
great physical comedy for our audio podcast.
Oh yeah. No, this is the one that we're going to actually make a video version of.
Yeah. I repurposed the toilet cam just for this one.
Baby, here we go.
What did we think of, what did we think of the rest of the cameos?
Yeah. So I mean, next one up is Lucky.
Yeah. Lucky Larry. From
Lucky Larry Lupin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
played by Gilbert Gottfried.
which it just felt like such a ripoff from Gremlins, but it's fine. I mean, it's over fast enough, which is more than I can say for
Charlie Sheen's,
which just kind of dragged.
That one does drag on a little too long. Yeah.
But Gilbert Godfrey is Gilbert Godfrey. I mean, you get what you get. So
also Charlie Sheen at his most like just puffy faced drug addled.
Oh, yeah. No, he was definitely upset that he hadn't done coke that day. Like he was like, I've been doing coke for 18 days straight. I'm full of tiger blood. And here we are.
Hey, like. I think what's the text I sent you guys? Like, does anyone else get the feeling that Charlie Sheen just stumbled onto the set and they left the cameras rolling?
Yeah,
I do have to say, though, I think that the across the eye face scar is the most badass scar that you can get.
Mm. Yeah.
And he had like the glassy, milky eye from like the thing. And then he says a bunch of terrible things.
Really horrible shit. I mean, it was the late 80s, but yeah, it's rough. The part of that, even though that scene does drag on a long time, when they're just like listing different things and it's in the car.
Yeah, the records, Iron Butterfly,
in the car. the one from the TV, in the car.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go through everything. He wasn't looking.
So Charlie Sheen is like, Charlie Sheen drives by and like immediately just pulls a knife, takes the nerdy one hostage and like just starts demandingly like put all their good stuff in his car.
Including the for-purpose brush that they bought from Lucky Larry Lupin earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Matt's menorah.
in
the car.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, and then after that, it's Judd Nelson as the cop with the, like, Hitler stash.
I think that was my favorite of the cameos, Nicolas Cage aside.
Yeah.
Like, he was great in that, honestly.
He was insane. Like, as far as cops go, like...
He's such a weird character.
He's all sweating. He's, like, pitting out in his uniform. And he's, like... clearly wearing a fake mustache and like making sure it's on right. It's a very weird and unhinged kind of performance there. I liked that one, I think, the most.
I think he has my favorite quote from this movie, and I'm probably not going to do it total justice, but he's about to leave and then he pulls his gun out like, "You freeze, loser," and he points it at Matt and they're all like hands up, and then he's like, "Just kidding," and then he goes, "I love my job."
Yeah, he rides off like kicking his legs out on the side on his fucking Chips motorcycle.
God, to be fair, that does sound like a very good job.
Fucking with random people who are stranded.
Yeah. Oh yeah, being a cop and having total immunity for all the shit you do.
Yeah, absolutely,
I'm sure. Great, literally a license to murder.
Oh my God. Favorite quotes, like there's one I just can't ignore that just really I absolutely loved. And that's about two-thirds of the way through the movie when Matt finally realizes that, they're actually in real trouble, which took way too long. He starts freaking out and then he says, "I'm no ding-a-ling, not me."
God damn it, you took my quote.
I'm like, first of all, you are a ding-a-ling.
Yeah. I mean, massive, can we agree ding-a-ling. That like of the main characters, Matt is the best one? So my quote, like we're just getting into it now, is there like Eddie is blaming Matt for everything and he's like, "Oh, good. I guess Lou Gehrig's disease is my fault also." It's like, way to just pull out Lou Gehrig's disease.
It's a good one. You're not really going to offend anyone.
Well, since Hornback stole mine.
Yeah.
Because I do love my other one is just when I think it's right after that. Matt's just there playing with like this like really toys. Old Batman toy. And he's like, "No, Batman. Batman."
I love when like the action figure falls off the door and he's like, "Oh no, Batman, the Riddler is going to get away." But he's just like silently in the background doing this. Like he's not the focus. he steals the focus, but
well,
I mean, you think about like having to shoot on these film shorts and everything, and they like chose that that was worth the film going stock.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, there's a lot of things they don't do, like seek shade or like, you know,
they do throw a football.
Yeah. Conserving energy.
The first thing they do is play a game of, you know, catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, the first thing that happens is
they have the picnic too.
She has a costume change and then they play football. Oh yeah. And the picnic. What does Matt say about the kiwi? He's like, it looks like a hairy turd.
I thought it was a hairy ball or something.
No, I think he said it was like, it looks like a turd with hair.
He had never seen a kiwi.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ohio, right?
All right. Get ready for California, boys.
They're screwed when they get there.
Nah.
Yeah, with all that pussy.
Yeah. A different lady every night.
Good one, Johnny.
I love their logic. There are no ladies in Ohio.
Right.
All of the ladies are in LA.
Well, California's got so many good looking babes, they're spilling out into all the surrounding states. Eddie taught me that.
The surrounding states being like Nevada.
Yeah.
And Oregon.
It kind of seems like you guys liked this film.
It was really atrocious. So like normally when I'm watching a movie, especially if I'm going to talk about it or whatever, try to watch it twice or maybe even three times. So I made it through all the way once. And then I just started fast forwarding through the scenes. The second time I watched it, trying to see, did I miss anything? Was there anything even remotely subtle? Nope. It was.
Like a true story to tell? No.
No, I mean, like, did I miss something?
Right. Was there some cinematic gold happening somewhere on it? No.
I did rewatch it a second time, just like in a quick speed run. And there was something that did, like, there were a couple times where I like laughed again. And there was one in the ugly wife scene where Eddie's ugly wife kisses him. And then his hand does this like spasm thing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. All right. That's
totally. It was pretty good. And I hadn't noticed it the first time. It was like, oh man, that's funny. Like, that's a funny little touch. It's not good acting. Yeah. It's not good anything, but it's something I didn't catch the first time. So,
yeah.
No, I definitely, God, I hate that we all kind of watched this twice. I watched it at normal speed twice all the way through today, and it loses a lot. Once you've heard the jokes once, like the jokes don't get a second laugh. Like, that's the problem with it. It's like you watch it the first time and you're like, oh, I'm going to laugh at this because I can't believe I'm watching this. Then you watch it again.
I guess I kind of agree. Like, I really didn't get anything out of it after a second watch other than like it did hit a little close to home because like I swear to God, I was not unlike these guys early college. Thinking that my only problem was where I was living.
Mm-hmm. Kent?
Bellingham, actually. Oh, yeah. Which was...
Probably had better chances in Bellingham.
Definitely. All I had to do was like not be an idiot.
Did you ever consider a love walk?
No, because like I didn't value the outdoors back then. Mm-hmm. I was deep in the throes of World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
Did you consider an ugly wife?
Yes, I did. Because I thought, you know, if you shoot, if you go low, then your chances are good.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start valuing the outdoors?
That's a good point.
I think it was a mushroom trip I did.
Hey, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I respect that.
Yeah. Top five mushroom trips.
First time, definitely number one. Mm-hmm. College friends that were, you know, a little bit better, I suppose. And I guess the second time I took a proper dose and I knew what I was in for. So like I just had this brief moment where I knew everything. Of course, I didn't know anything, mm-hmm. but I thought I did. And that was really kind of awesome.
What about the butthole massage chair?
Oh, yeah.
That one?
Oh, God. I could not.
I missed that.
Yeah, I have some weird ticklish thing where like I cannot
on your butthole.
I can't do like a lot of normal massage stuff. Like it actually like makes me very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So everyone else is like enjoying this like amazing massage chair.
Nobody loved it as much as Josh, though.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Josh was going to marry that thing.
Oh, for real?
If that was an option, I mean.
Okay, wait. Worst mushroom trip.
That would probably, if I may, the time I did acid, I suppose.
Well, it's not mushrooms, well, unless you did them both.
No,
that would be bad.
I mean, come on, similar note. Okay, it was a very good experience, except I was rolling around with a friend of mine.
Okay.
Just two buds,
yeah,
jerking each other off.
Well,
looking for lesbos.
Go ahead.
I mean, we were both on acid and he was driving, so it was...
Ooh. It sounds like the start of this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very unsafe thing, and you know.
Yeah, I was the driver on an acid trip too. I understand.
My God. So, really? What?
Well, I took us up to the mountain and I got hot, like it kicked in maybe only in like the last 10 minutes of the drive. And then we just started hiking in the woods.
That's if you hit any traffic at all, I mean, It's all like
what, the mountain traffic in the middle of Montana.
I don't know. Maybe everyone's going in the mountains. You don't know.
On acid, it's fine.
People do.
That wasn't a concern at that point.
The first time I ever did mushrooms, I was in college, and my buddy, like, we were super worried about it, and he packed them in like special candy wrappers so he could like fly it on the plane and everything. It was absolutely insane. So we took it. We had no idea what to expect, and then we were just like sitting around waiting for the come up. And we were watching Cartoon Network, and there's an episode of Dexter's Laboratory where he gets like set backwards and is walking and talking in reverse. And it was a very, very weird way to start coming up, because we were just like, are we fucked up, or is this like the show? And later I watched it and I was like, this is the trippiest fucking episode. But yeah,
that's it was amazing.
Pretty weird.
I got to experience the Barbie movie on mushrooms, and that was awesome.
That would be a pretty decent one, yeah. That's just kind of out there enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do Barbenheimer on mushrooms, though.
No, that one takes a turn. Second half of this trip sucked.
Probably the second time I did mushrooms, my friend was like, we should watch The Wire.
What? No! Yeah, let's watch... Yeah. Fucking somebody beat up a minority. That's a great way to get high.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Your friend kicks ass. They know a good time.
I wasn't going to mention this because I'm like, I reread this and it wasn't that good. I was looking at reviews for this movie on IMDb, and there's one that stood out to me for a couple of reasons. One, it was the review was given on my birthday. Two, it was by White Mark. With a second K and a 7. And he gave it 3 out of 10. I won't read the whole thing, but he's like, I came across the movie scene that Nicolas Cage made a cameo. I decided to watch it since it was on Netflix. This movie is one of the most boring movies I've ever watched. The characters are goofy, unrealistic, blah, blah, blah. So keep away from this movie unless you want to come for the cameo appearances. Nicolas Cage and Charlie Sheen. Generously give it 2 out of 10 because of the cameos. He gave it 3 stars.
Huh. Good job, White Mark 7.
Yeah. White Mark 7.
White Mark. So White Mark 7 reviewed it on your birthday this year, or of what year?
No, like 12 years ago.
Oh, okay.
When did this movie get made, by the way?
I mean, 88, but it's one of the, it was a direct to VHS sort of situation. So we actually did things a little out of chronological order accidentally. So we should have done this one last episode, but whatever. We talked Italians in a different bad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much else to say about the movie itself. Cage grid.
Phenomenal performance by Nicolas Cage. Terrible film.
Top 10.
Yeah.
I put this as I like this movie. I think it is so goddamn stupid, but I enjoyed myself. So
I'm with Peter on this one. I enjoyed this film. I enjoyed Nicolas Cage. I enjoyed all the cameos. They're all, and that's kind of Rifkin's thing, isn't it? He just like, he likes having weird celebrity cameos. Like,
yeah, I mean, he must be connected. He's got buddies. So
yeah, I think of The Chase, and for whatever reason, Anthony Kiedis and Flea are in that movie.
Right.
Hmm. I think that if I saw this movie when I was 17, my early 20s would have gone a lot better.
Because you would have known what to do and not to do.
I some self-reflection, you know, kind of realizing that
women are people.
You know, there's ladies everywhere, and maybe the location isn't the problem. You know, it's you're the problem.
Are you sure you would be able to see the forest for the trees?
We can help you with this, Nick. You're the problem.
I know.
Telling you, ugly wife. That's the trick. There's an old song that's about that. It's like, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, got to make a pretty woman your wife. But from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. Because ugly girls don't cheat on you.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who sang that song.
Sounds like it would be a Randy Newman.
It is not a Randy Newman, but it does seem like it should be.
Get out Shazam. Peter, do it again and see if it makes it.
There's no chance I will ever sing a song that Shazam will think is the song. I guarantee you.
I want to know what Shazam thinks it is. That's the game. So that's Never on a Tuesday.
I really just wish that I watched something else, to be honest with you.
Well, you didn't. You watched this. Thank you.
But we're glad to have you on.
Well, yeah, it's sort of good to be here. Like,
let me top you off.
Yeah, you need a little more buzzball.
Oh, dear God.
We're going to get into a second recording.
Yeah, we actually weren't recording yet. This is the warm up. We do this with everybody nowadays.
Yeah, you got to crack one buzzball before you can do the real recording.
Peter, can I
talk to you? Yeah, please. Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you what I really think.
These are laced with mushrooms, too. So
yeah. Watching you guys do this to yourselves, I'm so glad I'm not there. What are we watching next, Peter?
Next, I think, is Amos and Andrew or Firebirds. I don't remember off the top of my head.
We're watching Firebirds with Nicolas Cage and Tommy Lee Jones next.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Oh, and Sean Young.
Can I ask you guys a question?
I prefer Sean Old.
I would like to know what makes the cut as far as a movie featuring Nicolas Cage, because this one had
this point we did 27 seconds.
Trying to figure out.
He had a little bit more in Fast Times.
Arguably, he had more lines in this than he did in
Fast Times.
We had two lines and a laugh here.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of very good facial acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're just kind of going through the catalog now. It's like
we're having fun.
We're just doing it.
Don't ruin our fun, Nick.
There's probably a couple of them that we won't do that just seem unfun, but
One was fun. As much as I honestly hated this complete and utter piece of crap, it was fun. And like I was able to burn through it in a morning before work meetings. And I'm really surprised because I honestly thought there was going to be something I got out of it, but it was just the ride itself. And it could have gone in so many different directions. Like it could have turned into like some kind of horror survival thing. Like it actually could have started off as like a dumb, you know, stupid movie. And then like once they are properly fucked, you know, it could have been like an actual thing, but it wasn't. So I was honestly kind of waiting for it to turn serious. And but it was lighthearted the entire time. From my end of things, the takeaways are never go anywhere outside of cell reception. Mm-hmm. And why drive when you can fly?
And never on Tuesday.
Yeah. And also, just don't do things on Tuesday or meet ladies named Tuesday.
So wait, never drive anywhere outside of cell reception like 1988.
Yeah, don't drive to 1988.
Yeah, it's not going to work for me.
Pretty good advice.
Well, I don't know what people did back then, but
they died in the desert.
Yeah,
it would have been cool if it took a Beavis and Butthead to America turn.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked a nice acid or mushroom trip music video.
Yeah,
that would have eaten up at least 5 minutes.
They could have found some.
You could have replaced Charlie Sheen's most of his scene and had that instead.
Yeah, you could have had Charlie Sheen just dosing them and have animated Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
because obviously it would have to go animated at this point
in the car.
Yeah, in the car.
They don't have budget for animation.
This movie was written over a weekend,
which actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, to write 90 pages in a weekend, sure.
How do you know it's 90 pages?
On
90 screen, minutes, 90 pages.
Usually a page per minute.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I could do it. Boody-doo. I could do way more pages.
Okay, this weekend, write me a film.
Oh, yeah. Write a sex pest 80s movie.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be sex pest. Write me a teen comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that.
90 pages. You can do it. It's fine.
I'll just, yeah. Okay.
Reach into that deep pocket of yours.
Double space. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Change all the margins just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, a film isn't like single spaced or anything. There's plenty of space on the page.
Oh, yeah.
So,
cool. Gotta let the actors breathe.
Yeah. It's room for notes because executive producers, Peter.
It's true.
You're an executive producer now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, funny. I have invested money into this, so I probably am.
You do have the good chair.
Yeah. I mean,
this is the worst chair. Balls. I give my guests the better chairs because I'm a good producer. I will suffer for my art.
I'm not allowed to have chairs that make noise.
That's true.
I move too much.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here, Nick. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm glad to be
and
here.
And also to Hornback.
Yeah. It was sort of a good time. I definitely didn't have anything better to do.
But you did get a biggie out of it.
You did get a biggie. Drink your biggie.
I'm trying. This is honestly terrible.
It's pretty bad. This is worse than the chocolate one for sure.
I seriously don't want to do this. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we can't put it back in the bottle. It's got one of those weird stoppers.
It doesn't go both ways.
It's so freaking bad. What is wrong with you people?
Sparkle Buddies just weren't doing it.
Speaking of Sparkle Buddies, thank you to our Sparkle Buddies, Josh, Josie, Matt, Adam, Bill, and Stuart. And to our cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Nathan, and Cameron. And to Bill Panks for making our intro music. And to me for making all the poster art.
Thanks, executive producer.
You're
Peter.
Welcome. I feel much better now. Go watch Never on Tuesday. It's great.
It actually isn't that bad.
It's great.
It's not that great though. Like, come on now.
I enjoyed it and I can't recommend it.
No, I wouldn't ever actually recommend anyone watch this. Don't do it. But you can find it on YouTube if you do want to watch it.
All right. Bye everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye forever.
Bye.
I was working at like an Office Depot and I got like a 10% discount on stuff and I didn't want any office supplies, but they did sell Mountain Dew.
So you got like 10 cents off every
Mountain Dew,
20 ounce bottle you bought.
I mean, when you're getting paid $7 an hour, that's kind of a good deal.
That's true. If you buy enough Mountain Dew, you save a dollar and that's worth it. It took an hour of your life to save that dollar, but
it's the classic thing that my dad would do driving around town to get the 1 cent cheaper gas. It's like that.
Clearly your time is not worth money.
Now, one time my buddy Joey, so we had always had we called it Shrismas, and we would get like, this is unnecessary. We'd get like 20 people together. And we'd all do mushrooms. And then we'd have a couple of people that would drive us around to look at Christmas lights. Because like our
that
university.
Sounds great, actually.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Our university had like a giant, like, I don't know, 150 foot like sequoia tree on campus. And they would decorate it.
Nice.
So we'd go down there and like everybody would just stare at it like a bunch of fucking nerds. And creeps, and like Joey would drive us around, he'd turn off the lights on his car and we'd be like, oh my god, we're fucking moving through spiders. But one day he takes us all into his garage and we're like all fucking shrooming, and he turns out the lights, and when nobody was in there, he had broken like 8 or so glow sticks and sprayed them on all the walls, the furniture. And so like we're just fucking out there. And then all of a sudden, it's just like a galaxy of color all around us. That was pretty solid. Worst trip was a King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard concert.
Well, yeah, we've heard that one. Yeah.
That opener was just so bad. They ruined my whole trip.